on the KSRO live line with us from the Pulitzer Prize winning press Democrat, C.W. Nevius. Congratulations, C.W.
Hi, Pat. I had very little to do with it, but I do have to say, a friend of mine reminded me that I predicted that the PD was going to win this a month ago, that their coverage was just that good. I thought that it was spectacular.
Absolutely.
If listeners haven't seen it, I would recommend especially to go back and look at some of the videos, which were just awe-inspiring. In fact, they were a little terrifying. Some of the videographers were actually driving into the fire.
But, very much so. Yeah, very terrifying.
It was terrific. And I hope you saw the video of the newsroom when they got the word.
Of course I did. Yes.
Absolute joy. It was a terrific day. So congratulations. And as I said, I had a very, very small part in that, but what a great job by the staff.
You know, I spoke to Gayla Baron yesterday afternoon, and she said the same thing. She said, talk to the folks in the newsroom who just work tirelessly. And of course, we know a little something about what it took to get fire coverage. And we definitely are extending our huge congratulations to the entire staff, including you. But let's talk sports, shall we? There's so much to talk about in Bay Area sports. It's hard to know where to start, but let's start with the Warriors and 2-0 in the playoffs so far. Good news. Really looking good, don't you think? And when is Steph Curry expected back?
I think that's a real question. The knees are very tricky, as we know, and I'm not sure. You know, it was funny because we were talking last night. My wife and I were watching the game last night, and at different times during the broadcast, they said 10 to 14 days, then they would say 3 weeks. And we see video of him cutting back and forth side to side, which is the real, things you have to be able to do when you have a knee injury. But I know they're going to be cautious with him. I know Steph will want to be cautious. For right now, it appears they're simply a better team than San Antonio. Manu Ginobili said last night, maybe sometimes your best isn't good enough. But down the road, they're going to have it. And I think the matchup everyone's looking for is that matchup with Houston. So they're going to have him. And I think they'll be as cautious as possible. And yet, when they need him, they're going to have to put him in the lineup.
Are you projecting the Warriors and the Cavaliers at the end?
You know, the Cavaliers stumbled. That was a shocking loss. I don't know if you saw the stat, but I think, trying to remember exactly, it's the first time LeBron James' team has ever lost the first game in a playoff.
Yeah, and that's an amazing stat right there.
Yeah, and they lost it by 20 points. So the Cavaliers are going to be, I think they're going to be fascinating because, you know, the claim is that the organization made this decision, but I think we all know that it was LeBron James who made the decision. Midway through the year, he said, we need new players. And they blew up the roster and brought in these other players. And for a time, they looked terrific. And then little by little, it came back to the same old thing. And, you know, I think we have to start asking the question, is there too much LeBron? I mean, he gets a triple-double every night, but what's everybody else doing? And in a lot of cases, they're standing around watching him. So I'm not as confident. A year ago, I would have said there's no question. Cavaliers and Warriors in the finals, that's going to be it. But at this point, watch out for the 76ers. Toronto has had a tough time with the Cavaliers, but they're actually an up-and-coming team. So in the East Coast, I'd watch out for them. But in the West, I'd say that keep an eye out for Houston. Mm-hmm. And Portland has given the Warriors a difficult time, too. So it'll be interesting to see.
And the San Jose Sharks thriving even without one of their best players, Joe Thornton. Now, how are they going to find space for him when he's ready to return on that roster that's playing so well together right now?
Well, they are. And, you know, he had a knee injury, and a knee injury, as we said, is tricky. But, gosh, they're playing so well. This Evander Kane, when they got him, it really made a big difference. Step things up. I read the thing today about how the Sharks have been in the playoffs. They've been in existence, I think, 27 years. They've made the playoffs 20 times.
Wow.
But they only made the Stanley Cup Finals once. That was 2 years ago, and they lost. So, you know, is the glass half full or half empty?
Yeah.
You're delighted to see that they're making the playoffs on a consistent basis like this, but they obviously would like to hold that Stanley Cup trophy up at some point.
No question about it. Yeah, it's always great to be asked to the dance, but you really want to come home with the prize, that's for sure.
Right. And, right, exactly.
And baseball, I know we're just getting underway. I know that there can be no championship lost in the month of April, except I recall last April when we were watching the Giants play and thinking, oh, my gosh, it's just about over in April or May.
Yeah,
you know?
that was miserable. Exactly, that's right.
And well, I understand. I'm happy Cueto's going to be back on the mound tonight. And it's going to be a little ways for Samardzija, a long ways for Bumgarner. Yes, we're getting more hits, but that doesn't seem to be enough.
Well, and they're getting hits, but they're not timely hits, and they're not scoring runs. And that's very, I mean, I think the concern of the loyal Giants fans is we saw this movie last year, as you said. What's different here? And consistently the Giants have said, we're standing pat. We've got Buster Posey. We've got Brandon Crawford. We've got up until a ball hit his pitching hand, we had Madison Bumgarner. So that's the core. We'll augment that with some additions, but that's what it's going to be. And now I think people have to start to say, are you sure you didn't want to go younger? You didn't want to, and Mack Williamson is just tearing it up in AAA. And, you know, they don't have a place for him because they have Hunter Pence in left field. Hunter Pence is having a difficult time. The fans are getting restless.
Yeah.
I think it feeds into exactly what you said from last year, if they don't find a way to kind of turn it around.
But this is not a new story, CW. I mean, when it comes to how the Giants sort of try to impact the team with one or two players, there are always veterans on the other side of their careers.
Right. That's the question. Mack Williamson, I think, is the poster child for this. He had great in spring training. He goes down to AAA. He's hitting great there. But they are more comfortable going with older, more established players. And this is just a personal observation, and feel free to call me out on it or say it's not. But I think Bruce Bochy is more comfortable with older, established players.
Yeah,
I don't
it seems
think
to be.
When they bring younger players up, and we saw it last year with Christian Arroyo, I mean, that guy, they gave him Will Clark's number, which is a big deal in baseball.
Yeah.
He didn't get number 74. He got 22. And he started out great, and things were going really well. He started to get in a little slide with hitting, and it just went downhill. And then he was injured. He went down to the minor leagues. He was injured. He was eventually traded. But that, to me, is an example of how some teams do a great job of bringing young guys up. It's a huge adjustment. They find a way to make them comfortable. And it seems to me the Giants are not great at that. They're not great at bringing up young players. And it may be, kind of a catch-22 too. Is it that they favor older, more established players, or is it that they don't do well with younger players, therefore they end up relying on older, established players? So I don't know which one it is, but...
I think you've hit on something here, and I'm wondering, I think a lot of us have been wondering whether, for the last few years, we've wondered this, should this be Bochy's final year as a manager of the team?
Well, and I think that's a discussion worth having. There's going to be a lot of people. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame manager, so you're going to have to say that.
Yes.
But it's going to be a very difficult choice if that's the case. I'm not sure that isn't, you know, a thought. The injection of fresh ideas, fresh energy, and so forth. You know, he's had some health problems. He has no indication, obviously, of stepping down.
Yeah.
But I wonder. I wonder if that's not the kind of thing. When I go to the A's games and I see Bob Melvin, who's a young guy, he's been manager of the year, American and National League. There's a guy that, because he has to, works well with young players, and those players thrive.
Well, he has to. They don't keep him long enough to become older players.
Right.
Yeah.
Older players. What's the deal with that?
Yeah. There's no such thing.
I went to the home opener. They had a statistic in the home opener at the Giants. They said that Buster Posey had appeared in 8 consecutive home openers. And as a joke, I said that over in Oakland, the A's are saying, really, can you even do that? Is that allowed?
Is that possible?
They never anybody for more than 2 or 3 years.
And the A's are celebrating. I think today is the day they celebrate the 50th year in Oakland. And they're doing okay this season.
Yeah, well, I think they're an intriguing team, really, in a lot of ways. It's just so difficult. it's just not a good place to watch a baseball game. I mean, it's warmer over there than it is in San Francisco.
Yes.
The A's hit a ton of home runs, which is great. They're young, as you pointed out, by necessity. But gosh, that stadium is just an old, tired, dreary, depressing place to go, and they can't seem to get, you know, a new ballpark underway. It would mean so much to
Oakland
if they could do something.
And they deserve that certainly with their history in the Bay Area. And I think one of the things about having the younger players all the time is there's no time to develop the kind of extreme loyalty that fans feel about their baseball players year after year. And I think, in fact, that loyalty is the thing that, you know, has kept the Giants in the black during these terrible years, is they rely on the fact that we're loyal through and through because we know the players, we've seen them year after year, and we're willing to still shell out the money and sit in the seats.
I think so. I don't think there's any sport where the personal connection is as strong as baseball. And I would give you an example of my wife. We moved back to the city about 8 years ago. We lived right down by the ballpark. We started going to some games. She was not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's second guessing the pitching decisions. I mean, she's developed, like all of us, you know, she has opinions about the players and what's he doing. And every time Brandon Belt takes a called third strike, she smacks the couch.
I love your wife. I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. But you get to know players, personalities of players. You develop likes and dislikes. You start to say, oh my gosh, is he going to do that again? I've seen him do that before. Or, oh my gosh, he did do that again. That's sensational. So I think you really hit on something there. I think that the personal connection in baseball is the determining factor for fans. And if you're an Oakland A's fan, as I'm not the first to say this, but you're afraid to buy a player jersey because he may be gone before
That's
the year's
right.
up. You know?
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, we'd love to check in with you. In fact, we will about a month from now so we can update these statuses, or sooner if we're talking basketball or hockey for sure. Always a pleasure, CW. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Beth.
All right. That is Press Democrat sports writer CW Nevius on KSRO.